now, our tech trailblazer for this episode of The Reboot is a face we've seen before, and we're excited to have him back. Prakash Sengani is the founder and CEO of the Navitech Group, the co-founder of Safety.ai. He is a digital construction expert, and he's going to help us navigate this discussion. Welcome, Prakash.
Thank you for having me back, Sonal.
Thank you for joining us on a Sunday morning. Really appreciate it. And we want to learn a little bit more about you before we dive into the subject, just so our listeners can get to know your expertise.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what you do, just briefly, about Navitech Group and Safety.ai. What are some of the problems that you're looking to solve?
So we're trying to digitalize the construction industry. It's one of the least digitalized industries in the world. And we're doing that by using what we call conversational AI. So we're trying to get the frontline workforce to understand some of the risks and hazards about the work that we ask them to do. And we're doing that through what we call multimodal approach. So we allow them to send texts, voice notes, pictures. And we also do that in over 20 different languages. So we're really trying to get to the workforce, which is actually the biggest demographic in the construction industry, right? If you think about the number of people that work there, the guys that are doing the doing and the girls that are doing the doing on the site are the biggest. So if we can make an impact to them, we'll make a huge impact on the industry as a whole.
Can you tell me what this looks like in practice? Because as somebody who's just coming into this with no knowledge, my image is, you know, first of all, is it safe for them to be having their phones, taking photos and doing things as opposed to being more aware of their surroundings? And the other thing is, can't they just do that on WhatsApp?
Great question. First question is, it's not really safe whilst they're doing something to be on the phone. But on most construction sites, there's areas where you are allowed to use your phone. And what we're doing with the conversational interface is we can ask the question before they do anything. Are you in a safe place? And to answer your second question, can they do on WhatsApp? Absolutely. So what we've done is we've actually gone to where the users are. They're on WhatsApp. So we've piped our technology into WhatsApp so they can interact with our proprietary LLM directly through WhatsApp. So no downloading an app, no remembering usernames or passwords. You just talk to our bot and it'll tell you everything you need to know about health and safety right in WhatsApp.
Give us a little example of a certain project you're working on right now and how it's been applied.
So we're working on one of the biggest giga projects in Saudi Arabia. So we're building a proprietary or customized version of our technology for NEOM in Saudi Arabia. We're working and talking to most of the giga projects there. We're having conversations with most of the developers, the large developers here. So it's something that is clearly at the top of the agenda for a lot of these huge organizations. And I think what we're going to start seeing is that this trickles down to the contractors, the people that are already doing the building. And we're hoping to have our technology deployed across this sector of the industry as well.
Yeah, really interested to get into this discussion of the future of construction. And you're guiding us through it, so I appreciate your expertise here. And let's meet the rest of our panelists as well today, because we've got a busy studio, which I love. We've got Ala Bassam. He's business development manager from Group Amana. Background is civil and structural engineering, as well as project management. And he leads a team in manufacturing modular homes and buildings. Ala, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit more again about what you do when it comes to leading a team in manufacturing modular homes and buildings. I'm really interested in this because it's called Do Box and Do Pod. Give us a brief overview.
Right. So at Group Amana, we come at the back of design and build general contractor, where we do general contracting. And we have a new division, which is under manufacture. It's called Do Box and Do Pod, where it's specialized in offsite modular solutions. So what we're doing today is we're challenging and changing the way we build. So we brought all the construction site activities into a factory-controlled environment. So all the buildings can be segmented into different components, into modular components that are pre-finished, prefabricated off-site, ready for a plug-and-play. So we do all the external finishes, interior finishes. We do all the MEP services that are embedded within the modules. And then that's ready to be shipped to the site. And on-site, we just plug-and-play. So it's basically like Lego-type construction. So by bringing all this site activities into manufacturing environment, so we're able to control the quality. So you have we're producing quality-controlled products. So we're even speeding up the deliveries. So we're able to do parallel works and parallel activities at the same time. So if you look at an example of a traditional site, so you do the foundation works on site. At the same time, in the factory, we're doing all the superstructure. So all the ground floor, the first floor, second floor, and third floor are all done at the same time on the ground in the factory, in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
So this increases your productivity, the health and safety aspects, the quality that we're producing, and Right now, we've established in 2010, where we started our R&D. We kicked off, our first project was in 2012, and then lately we kicked in the market in UAE in 2016.
I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about modular homes, because Zina and I have been sharing videos. I think a lot of people have seen them, where you see these kind of either prototypes, or it seems like a niche market. Tesla Homes is an example, where you see these prefabbed kind of homes come up really quickly. But I'm curious about how that's moving into the mainstream, specifically how it's been used in the UAE and how we'll see it used in the UAE. But we'll come back to that, because I want to introduce our next guest. Basil Tachvala is a construction technology specialist. He's been part of the early adoption years of technologies when it comes to modular construction, 3D printing as well, because we see 3D printed homes. How does it all work? We want Basil to explain it to us. Basil, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. So, I mean, I covered a good bit of modular construction. I've been a part of the industry since 2012, where people were still in the acceptance phase of, you know, seeing large pieces of boxes and houses flying over their heads, being constructed in construction sites, and then moving to seeing robotic arms in construction sites printing houses. So over the years, I moved into a role where I support clients in developing strategies for to rethink and adopt modern methods of construction, it being 3D printing, it being modular construction, or lightweight material. Now, as you know, this carries many benefits and addresses a lot of issues like sustainability issues. So clients are very keen on capitalizing the most out of this technology.
Right.
And especially when it comes to 3D printing, as a lot of people, it grabbed a lot of people's attention because it was a technology that was available in their own homes where they can develop and create and unleash their creativity. And now it's in the construction site. So it raises a lot of questions, whether, you know, how crazy can I go with my house? Mm. How flexible is it? How dynamic? Is it going to look like a wave in the ocean or the dunes of sand? So it really unlocked a lot of potential in terms of design and construction execution.
And, you know, before we get to some of those aspects of what's changing the game in construction, from robotics, 3D printing, modular homes, you've mentioned, you know, a lot of the ones that we're going to be discussing today. What is the issue in the construction industry today? Because, Prakash, you mentioned that they're lagging in terms of digitization. Why are we seeing that? And of course, part of that also is affordability is an issue for many people in terms of housing, especially in different parts of the world.
Yep.
That housing affordability is just out of reach for so many people, that something fundamentally needs to change. So for you, what are some of the ways in which the construction industry really needs to evolve?
So I think one of the biggest challenges is productivity growth. If you look at other industries, and there's been numerous reports done on this, is that other industries, as they've digitalized, as they've brought in new technology, their productivity, what they can do for every dollar that they spend has gone up, whereas construction has pretty much stayed flat over the last 20, 25 years. And so there's a huge opportunity there. It's a huge industry as well. It's something that contributes something like $14 trillion to the global GDP. And so if you can make small changes, they'll have big impacts. And the challenge, one of the challenges you mentioned about affordability, I think it's often you people forget that affordability element is not all down to the cost of building the house. I think the cost of building a house is probably about a third of the overall cost. There's other elements, the land cost, where it is, taxes, the cost of actually doing the transaction, all of these things are baked in. And so we can obviously impact, and if we can make that third a little bit cheaper through technologies like modular, by reducing the waste, by improving the productivity, by improving the quality of what we're building so it lasts longer, all of these things I think will help bring the cost of these things down.
I'm going to put you all on the spot for a quick moment, because the big question we're asking is, in the future, are we going to be able to simply order our house from an app? Yay or nay?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, there you have it. We're getting into that next. This is The Reboot. I'm Sonal Rupani, and we're taking a deep dive into the future of housing and construction. I'm joined by our tech trailblazer today, Prakash Singhani, who specializes in construction technology. But also in the studio with us are the experts Basil Tachvala and Ala Bassam as well. We want to start by looking at some of the trends in in what we're seeing that will change the way in which we build our homes. And actually, Basil, I'm going to start with you on this one. When it comes to modular homes, when it comes to prefabbed homes, give us an overview. What are they in the simplest of terms? How does this work?
Think of it as a manufacturing line for your home. Rather than the conventional construction, super busy, super noisy, and also, you know, for lack of a better word, super dirty construction site, turn into a completely neat and clean with very minimal number of people at site, very safe environment, while all the busy and heavy lifting work is happening far away in a controlled environment, in a safe environment, not under the sun, in controlled temperatures. So it's almost, you know, people are very familiar with the way cars are manufactured. It's exactly the same way, but for your home.
Right. And Prakash, I was kind of lamenting the fact of why haven't we seen more of this? Because it sounds very efficient. And you were pointing out to me that you live in a prefabbed home.
And lots of the listeners would probably see these trucks with giant concrete pieces driving around on the 611 and the 311. As all of those are pieces that are going to these construction sites to put homes together. So, yeah, I live in Mudon. The house that I live in was built with precast panels. So the walls, some of the beams and some of the columns were all made in a factory, shipped and then put together like you would put a piece of IKEA furniture together.
Yeah. Elon Musk famously has lived in one. I don't know if he lives in one full time because he sells them. He's got Tesla homes. They're about $10,000 each, which, you know, in a housing market that we're seeing currently, $10,000, that's it. They use solar power for their energy as well. But of course, Dubai is an early adopter of modular housing as well. So Ala, tell us a little bit more about what we're seeing here in the UAE when it comes to modular housing and how much it's going to cost as well, what it's going to do to costs that we're seeing.
Right. So now we're by shifting all the traditional construction to an offsite environment. So we've built the first compound. It was a 28 villa compound here in Jafaliya in Dubai for Al Futtaim Group. That was designed and built in 8 months. And we've done 257 villas in Jebel Ali. That's for the Gardenia townhomes. That's all have been done and manufactured using our modular technology by Dubox. And Dubox supplied all the bathroom pods. So in terms of cost, so people compare us with the traditional construction, which is already saturated in the market. However, you know, doing construction on site, you're borne by, you know, the lack of quality finishes on site, also in terms of health and safety aspects. So by shifting all of that in a factory controlled environment, you're able to control all these processes, deliver at a high quality. You know, it's a factory controlled quality. You know, health and safety is reduced down to 70%. Labor on site is reduced down to 30%. So this complements all of our in terms of deliveries. So right now, if you look at larger volumes, if you build mass homes, we're able to compete with the traditional market. For example, the Gardenia townhomes, it was 257 villas. We were competing with the traditional contractors, like Cast in Situ, conventional precast. We came in as modular, and yeah, the client basically selected our solution because it's a large horizontal site that needs to be, you know, controlled, delivered on time, and with a high quality.
And Basil, tell me, is there something we're giving up in the process? It sounds great, efficiency, costs, etc. But we're all used to a certain quality of build. Are we getting the same kind of quality? Is this only for certain use cases?
See, to be honest, it's a process of mindset shift, right? Because in generic terms, everyone thinks of a tailored suit, for example, to be a higher quality product than a off-the-shelf suit. But in the construction industry, it's actually the other way around, because you're taking the execution process into a controlled environment where you know, the workforce is working in a very comfortable environment, air conditioned, not under the sun, quality standards are top notch, and the integration of technology is much, much easier in a factory environment than it is in a construction site. Yeah. If you think about it, if you need something as simple as the internet in a construction site, you're going to have to do a lot of infrastructure works to just get an internet cable all the way up to the fifth floor. But in a factory that's already all built in, set up at a much lower cost, of course. So, you know, we all of us here, I'm sure they, everyone can agree that the process of educating the market and just getting their buy-in and acceptance that this is a higher quality product has been a big part of the process of this shift.
And another area of development that we're seeing, and you referenced it earlier, is 3D printing, because we've seen this. It's been around for a few years. We have a 3D printed building in Dubai around Emirates Towers, courtesy of the Dubai Future Foundation. The city is going to be home to the first 3D printed mosque as well. How much are we seeing this applied in a more mainstream way? And also, how do you 3D print a home? Because I've seen 3D printers in a smaller setup, and I'm, you know, they're kind of going around a certain model, but they can only make something as big as kind of the case that they're in. So how do you 3D print a home, and how much are we going to be seeing this in the future?
So at the moment, Dubai is home to about 15 3D printed buildings. Maybe not all have seen the media spotlight, but the adoption has increased, moving from just one back in 2018, I believe. And people are, honestly, out of all the technologies out there, it has struck the highest amount of interest between end users, especially private homeowners who want to build their own houses, just because of the experience and the process of seeing something literally go about your home and just draw lines, and you're seeing what the architect put on the table just literally being printed like a document. So it is being commercialized. There's a great amount of investment moving in that direction. And I'm definitely confident you're going to be seeing much, much more of that.
Prakash, let's talk robotics when it comes to construction, because are we going to see robots starting to replace humans on the construction site? Safety is a common theme that all of you have brought up when it comes to construction safety. So what are some of the jobs that robots can currently do, and what are some of the ones that we're going to see in the near future?
So 3D printing is essentially a robot, right? So 3D printing is delivered through robotic means. And just before I answer that one, just going to go back one. So, you know, you said how is 3D printing done? It's literally a scaled up version of what you see. So what you see in a small box is just supersized to be the size of a home. And the previous question to that, he says, what are we giving up when we're doing modular? So we're giving up some of the adaptability or the uniqueness of buildings, right? When you do something modular, you're kind of building the same thing over and over again. What 3D printing allows you to do is to have mass customization, or the potential of mass customization. So 3D printing, I think, goes hand in hand with modular going forward. So it allows you to get the benefit of repeated construction or manufacturing methodologies, but allows you to customize each one slightly.
But add a little personality.
Exactly.
It's not
exactly.
Just a row of identical kind of blocks.
Without increasing the cost too much, right? Or very little, or if at all. Mm. Now, going back to the question you asked me about robotics, we're seeing robots coming into the industry, and we're going to need them, right? So there's this thing about robots are going to come and take people's jobs. Actually, within the construction industry, globally, we've got a labor shortage. There's not enough people coming into the industry to take up the jobs of the people that are retiring at the other end. And so some of the repetitive, dangerous, mundane jobs like bricklaying, putting up gypsum boards and things like that are going to be taken over by robots, I think.
Right. Well, we're going to be coming back to this subject matter, especially, you know, what are our homes of the future going to be made of? Is concrete going to be a thing of the past? And we'll come back to that question of, are we all going to be able to just order a house on an app? Simple as putting together a burger. Customize it as you go. We'll find out next. You are tuned into The Reboot with myself, Sonal, and I'm joined by a special panel in studio. Prakash Singhani, Basil Tachwali, and Ala Bassam are in the studio with us to talk all things construction. They're all experts in different areas of technology and construction. We've discussed 3D printing and modular housing, but ultimately we wanted to get to the question, are we in the future, at some point in the future, going to be able to just order a house on an app? It seems so out there. It sounds outlandish. But Prakash, what do you make of this? Is this something that people are already working on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in some parts of Scandinavia, you can already do that. I think IKEA allows you to basically pick out the actual structure of your house and all the things that go in it, which obviously come from IKEA. And then they deliver everything put it together and then you're basically living in an IKEA house.
And how does that work? What does that look like? If you're on your app, like walk us through the user experience a little bit.
Sure. So and then this is also something that there's many developers in the region are actually looking at. So I've worked with the Ministry of Housing in Saudi Arabia. We were looking at doing something. There's developers here in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi, for example, who are looking at doing this. And so the user experience here is very simple to imagine. So I want to move house, or I want to buy a new house. And instead of buying one that's already there, I want one that fits my lifestyle, that fits my family. So, okay, I'll go into the app and say, I want a 4-bedroom house. And there's these plots of land that are available. So I'll pick the plot of land. Then I'll say, okay, this is the kind of configuration I want. I want the kitchen at the front or the back or whatever. I want to have this wallpaper. I want to have this tiles. I want to have this finishing on the ceilings. These are the bathrooms, tiles and things that I want, and the fixtures and fittings. And then you'll also be able to then get that finance. So there'll be mortgage providers in this app, in this ecosystem, that will say, okay, these are the rates. This is how much down payment you need to make. Press the button. And then within weeks, like we're talking about 18, 20 weeks, those houses then get delivered and you get your keys.
Now, when I asked this question, you all said, yes, we are going to be seeing this. Now, I'm going to put this to all of you, whoever wants to answer first, because you might all have different reactions to this. What's the time frame? When is this going to be a bit more mainstream, or I'm going to be able to do it myself in theory?
So I think probably within the next 3 years, I reckon. I think it's a confluence of different technologies coming together, right?
That's right. And developers are now looking into it, where they can basically customize their developments and enable all the buyers to access and really customize their homes. And to enable that platform to work, you need to think of offsite modular construction. So it serves as a platform where you can basically work on different components of the house, and it's already linked to manufacturing. So by going offsite, it allows us to basically digitalize the whole construction process, and this data can feed into the platform, basically so that they can interpret it and play with it, design their own configurations of the homes.
How is this going to affect the cost? Cheaper, more expensive?
On the long run, it would be definitely cheaper because mass production economies of scale. In terms of timeline, I think we're really there because, all the listeners could do just a very simple exercise. If you go on Alibaba or AliExpress, just type in room in a garden and you can literally get those flatbacks shipped into your home as we speak right now. Mm. So I think most developers are working on developing the purchasing experience. When they first manufactured cars, buying a car was just like literally, buying an automotive piece. But if you go into like a Porsche showroom and Mercedes showroom, it's all about the buying experience, feeling the leather. And I think that's what developers are really trying to work on capitalizing on, making it super easy. The technology is there. The product is there. Mm. It's available. And it's all about getting the experience right.
Mm. I think there's also a mindset shift. You mentioned is something that you want the ability to do. Would you do it when you come to purchase a house? Would you be comfortable buying something online? It was the same when people talked about clothes, right? And this kind of mindset, I want to go and feel the material, I want to go and try it on, and it's a similar emotive engagement that you've got with a house. And so if the technology did exist today, would the mass public want to do it? Or the listeners listening in, would you want to go and buy this massive purchase and do it online?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I'm curious how our listeners feel about this. If you could simply go on an app and customize your house and buy it online, would you? Because it's one thing for people to be working on this, but I think for me personally, if the cost was significantly less, and if there were demo, there's a lot of ifs, a lot of kind of, if there was a demo in which I could see the quality of the tiles and I could see what the kitchen would look like, and there were kind of places like model homes, I suppose. As long as there's enough of that and you can get a sense of what you're going to get, and the price point is enough of an incentive, then potentially yes.
I think a big part of the selling process would require the involvement of other technologies like VR, AR, Google Glasses,
Vision Pro,
right? We'll see those utilized much more in the construction industry, because you'll be in your home. Okay, I need to walk through the house, right? I don't know how the kitchen is going to look like. Mm. Is it easy to access the fridge? And then you just, you know, put on some glasses and start experiencing the home in firsthand. Would people accept that? Or would they really need to kind of open a sample cabinet? You know, it's squeaking here because it's not going to do that on VR, right?
Right.
So there's a level of compromise and acceptance that people would have to, you know, like accept, just like they did with clothing, right? Buying clothes online. A lot of people, especially the new generations, have accepted that. Mm. You know, it's okay. You know, I'll get used to it. I'll return it and whatnot. Will we see the same thing with construction? And that's what the developers are trying to look into.
And I think there's also an interesting thing of when you're designing a house, whether it's modular or online or not. There are so many times where you go into a house and you think, why is this decision? When you open this door here, it's actually blocking this. But, you know, being able to test out the usability of a space and a design is also kind of an interesting prospect when it comes to virtual reality, I think.
Yeah. And so we're already seeing some of this happening. So we call them virtual mock-ups, where hotel rooms or even entire houses are being digitally created and allowing the users to experience that house and do exactly what you said. If I open this door, is it going to hit my sink in my bathroom, for example, and things like that. And then I think, like you mentioned, there's other technologies around this that are going to enable this to happen. So like the AR, VR stuff, there's this thing called building information modeling where you basically produce your designs in 3D. All of these things are going to come together for us to move this this user experience forward.
I want to touch on one final point before I let you all go, which is sustainability. Now, concrete is something that's typically used. In terms of sustainability, what sort of issues are related to that? And also, are we seeing newer materials with that sustainability in mind? Are they coming to the fore?
Absolutely. I think, look, steel and concrete is one of the most greenhouse gas intensive materials that you go out there. And so there's a lot of work being done. There's a lot of work being done here in the UAE to decarbonize the cement industry, to decarbonize the steel industry. And we're seeing some of that coming in. And Ala, you guys have been working on some of this before as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we just wrapped up the COP28 recently, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost common knowledge that the construction life cycle contributes to about 39% of the total CO2 emissions around the world. Mm-hmm. So some of the materials that are coming around are biopolymer concrete that is used and utilizes natural materials to reinforce the concrete being used and to kind of get rid of cementitious content that is a main contributor. In December, I actually met a company that produces an additive to concrete that makes it carbon negative. So it actually absorbs the carbon dioxide from the environment. So now we're looking into buildings that kind of clean up the environment like a tree.
That's interesting. Last one from Marianne, because we've had a message in on the text lines. First of all, saying loving the show, so thank to all of you. And saying buying a house online, most houses purchases are about the feeling. So it is a major issue. However, I really think it will grow and it's so interesting. But I have a question regarding the UAE. Do we have planning permissions here? Because of course, it's the one thing for the technology to be ready, even companies to be ready to go. But is it ready from the regulation side or even, you know, enabling land plots to be available for such a thing? How is that scene looking?
Dubai has been an early adopter for modern methods of construction. Modular construction existed in Dubai since 2012, and quite a bit of projects have been executed since then. So that is a proven concept. The Dubai government has issued a decree to regulate the use of 3D printing in construction.
Yeah.
And there are guidelines and a lot of incentives being given by the government to adopt modern methods of construction in their process. And we've actually seen a lot of private homeowners adopt these technologies to go about the experience. So, I mean, if you reach out to government entities like Dubai Municipality or any other government entity, regulatory body, you'd get a plenty of support when you're adopting modern methods of construction.
Yep. Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. Looking forward to seeing it if in just 2 to 3 years I'm going to be able to buy a house online. Might have to do a bit of saving to lead up to that first, of course. But gents, thanks so much for joining us on the show to talk about that today.
Pleasure.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you
for having us.
The voices there of Prakash Sengani, Basil Takwali, and Ala Bassam. We're going to move the conversation on. We like to end the show with a little bit of a lighter mood. So we're talking about tech and love and how AI, especially AI translation, is playing a role. Stay with us on The Reboot as we wrap up the show. Do you think you could ever date somebody that doesn't speak the same language as you?
You know what? I thought about this long and hard, and I don't think I can do that.
No, I mean, for me, it's not even a long and hard. Like, no, what are you going to how are you going to communicate? That's a fundamental aspect of being in a relationship. But we caught an interesting story in The New York Times that's about just that.
Exactly. So there is a couple. They actually they were set up on a blind date and they were saved by an app because he spoke English and she spoke Spanish and they didn't know each other's language. So this Leroy Romero drove 4 hours from his hometown in Arizona to Mexico to meet Brenda Ochoa for the first time. And then they discovered that she didn't speak English. He didn't speak Spanish.
I mean, just thinking about the person that set them up on this blind date surely must have known this information.
Not a matchmaker. Matchmaker
nice
material.
Try. And yet somehow it worked.
Yeah, they shared a drink. You know, they really liked each other. But they didn't speak each other's language. And so Mr. Romero, Leroy, suggested they use translator apps like this Google Translate, which I use with my Chinese medicine doctor.
Oh, you do?
Works perfectly.
Really? So you use it in day-to-day conversation. You just have Google Translate going.
Exactly. Huh. So when I was newly married, I got pregnant because she was telling me all these instructions, do this, do that, on Google Translate.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And there's other apps that can do that as well. But there's this one app called Captions that Leroy discovered that where you can create videos and it uses AI so that there's this thing called lip dubbing. So yeah. You record your own video. And when you use the app Captions, the video just instantly translates what you're saying in English into another language.
And it looks like you're saying it. We actually tried out on The Reboot an app like this and we put it on our social media and it's kind of uncanny. So I could be speaking in English and it will do a live translate, adjust my lips a little bit and have the Arabic words coming out in a voice that's either like mine or close enough that it's not super jarring. You don't have to read it as subtitles. You can actually hear me saying it in a different language.
Isn't that incredible?
It
mimics your voice, it moves your mouth and it adds subtitles as well. So from there, romance blossomed.
Yeah.
And they're super in love.
That's amazing. It's crazy that something like that could work because it's not just a novelty of them going on one date, but the idea that they're able to sustain an entire relationship using translation apps and using AI.
I'm guessing they haven't lived together yet.
Yeah, exactly. I think they are still a bit long distance. So we'll see how that goes as it progresses. But can you imagine being in your own household in the kitchen and just kind of, I mean, maybe that buys them some time to learn the other's language. Let's be optimistic about it.
Yeah, that requires something like Duolingo.
Exactly. AI and love. It has so many different applications. And it's been a really fun show on The Reboot. And you can always catch our podcast, The Reboot, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay with us on Dubai Eye.